thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for your life-giving word that keeps on giving. For all that you have given to us, all that you have given for us. You are, in fact, the Lord, the one who holds our hand. Open our hearts today as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to do something a little bit different at the end of the service. I don't want to forget to say that before I get going here. So when we wrap it up, you don't. I'm gonna just play another song, so you don't need to worry about jumping up here.
Okay.
But I was reading in the Psalms this week, and I ran across a particular verse that just made me. It put immediately the picture in my mind of a father with a little child. And when we're little children, and mom or dad says, hold my hand, that's not really what we want to hear, but is it? We want to be off doing our own thing. We want to be exploring. But mom and dad, they want to keep us safe. And you know, we're in an environment where something could happen. So they want to keep us close. And so they do that for our protection. They want to hold on. I was walking one day in a mall, and I was in a store, walking along with my cane out, and all of a sudden this little, I must have been maybe 3 or 4 year old, and I'm assuming this little boy. I don't really know. I couldn't tell, but I'm going to say little boy. Came flying down the aisle, tripped over that cane, and went flying. And oh, I felt so bad, you know, and I apologized profusely. And you know, you can argue, well, she should have held on to the kid. But, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. And you know, she didn't say anything to me, but you know, I could feel the stare nonetheless. But, that little child is running free, running crazy, and tripped and fell and got hurt. But we all do that, though. We all fall down. And sometimes we fall down because we, like that little boy, are running away. We want to do our own thing. We want to have our own fun. And we take off. And before you know it, circumstances, our own mistakes, whatever it is, something trips you up and you fall. Sometimes it's just because we're clumsy. We do things, we misstep, we do things wrong, not because we're trying, but just because we do that. We fall, we're going to fall. And of course, our good Father is there to pick us up. And the fall will be much less painful if we stay connected to the Father. As we get bigger, so do our mistakes. At some point, our parents can't cover us anymore. In fact, at some point, it becomes a bad thing if your parents are still covering for you. And we suffer the consequences. And we would gladly trade the consequences that we suffer when we're older in for a little pain and scolding from somebody that cares about us. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, will always pick us up, though, if we'll just cry out to Him. But if we're walking with Him in the first place, He'll break your fall. And I know He has with me. I know I've shared in the past, but I look back on my life and think and see all the things that I did that were mistakes. Some of them were rebellious, some of them were just stupid. But I look back and see now how God took all of that in account and how God kept me from falling or kept me from being hurt. And so as I was reading, these verses got my attention. And the thing is, if you read it in various versions, it's a little bit different in every version. And why is that? You have, for one thing, you've got different language structure, especially with something like Hebrew. It's very different than the way we talk. The language structure is different. And now you add on top of that, this is coming out of the Psalms, but the Psalms are meant to be poetry. So now you've added another layer of poetic language, which follows a different set of rules than you would if you were just writing plainly. And so now you've got to figure in cultural nuance and all these things. It's kind of like what we've talked about with the Proverbs. There's a lot of assumptions made about what somebody, the imagery that's going to go along with it, with a particular phrase or a particular way that something is said. And of course, we don't have the melodies anymore either for these, if assuming they have them. But it leads then to disagreement on what's being said. And that, I know for me, it was hard for me to kind of shift my faith for a while. Now, wait a minute, you know, if this is God's unchanging word, then how is it that we have these different people that have different ideas on what it says? But what we need to do is trust that God, the Almighty, all-powerful God, is able to preserve His word. And the interesting thing about this particular passage is that even though it's written in several different ways, every statement that you read is true. There's no rendering of this that is not true. So God, even in our human frailties, as time passed and as language has changed and as it became harder maybe for us to understand what the original intent is, God preserved His truth. And so today we're going to look at a very simple truth. This is not going to be deep theology today, but just something I wanted to encourage you with, because I've noted a theme between what was said last week and what was said this week. And it wasn't intentional, but it was a theme of walk with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Work with Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and today He will hold your hand. He will keep you from falling. We need to be working together with our Lord to accomplish His purposes. That seems to be the overriding theme. So now I'm going to look, and we've got one verse per screen. There's about five of them. We'll go through several different ways that this is written, and then we'll talk a little bit about the way that it's translated and why, and how we still end up with the truth. Common English Bible, the first one, says a person's steps are made secure by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though they trip up, they won't be thrown down, because the Lord holds their hand. The New Living Translation says it this way: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, because the Lord holds them by the hand. The Christian Standard Bible puts it this way: a person's steps are established by the Lord, and he takes pleasure in his way. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed, because the Lord supports him with his hand. The Evangelical Heritage Version, one you might not have heard of: by the Lord, the steps of a person are made secure. Then he will delight in his way. Though he falls, he will not stay down, because the Lord holds him by his hand. And finally, the New American Standard Version, which is what I was reading when this caught my attention: the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. So if we back up and we get a little context, you might recognize this psalm. We talked about this psalm a little bit last year, but we started more back at the beginning. It's written by David, and based on some of the wording in it, it was probably written later on in his life. And you get the sense of what the psalm is about from the first few verses. It begins in part, and I didn't put this down on the screens, but it begins in part, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass." Verses 1 and 2, it's an excerpt from verses 1 and 2. But the recurring theme, this is a recurring theme that you find in the Bible, because we question, we want to know why that is. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that subject because that's not really where we're going today, but it's part of this, it's part of the context here. But you see that same thing over in Psalm 73. Asaph is the writer of that psalm. You see it in Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Where he says, "Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why have all those who deal in treachery, why are all those who deal in treachery at ease?" But then the Lord, we know that the Lord is going to eventually bring justice. And this psalm that we're looking at continues on, telling us to rest and wait patiently, telling us to cease from anger and forsake wrath, telling us that the humble are the ones who will prevail. And that kind of goes with the whole idea of the child, the humility of a child that accepts and follows and goes with the father. And he's, you know, it says also, better is a little. Let me reread that. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. But the psalm is actually an acrostic poem that would be alphabetical if you were looking at it in Hebrew.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Contrasting the wicked and the righteous in terms of character, in terms of conduct, in terms of their individual fate. And these current verses kind of illustrate the translation difficulties that you have. Because if you look at a concordance, you'll find that, like an interlinear Bible, you'll find that a lot of the filler words are not there. And that's why you have so much difference in the way these read, because we expect those in our language to understand the meaning, but you have some differences in the way people look at that, what they see, and they put different filler words in, and to us, it changes the meaning a little bit. But even though that's true, even though we're trying to interpret from the context how it should read, there is no reading that leads to falsehood. It says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord." And we know this. We know that God is in control. We know that nothing escapes his notice. We've talked about how even when we're making a mistake, he's there. And he's working out his perfect plan, because he didn't surprise him. He knew what was going to happen. But the steps of men, now by implication here, it's the steps of somebody who is righteous, somebody who is walking with God. And why do we know that? We know that because the previous verses have been contrasting the righteous and the wicked, and the following verses are describing God's provision for the righteous. So you have here, in the version that we stopped on, the American Standard Version, is an accurate translation He said, it says the steps of a man there. Some will add the steps of a good, the steps of a good man to sort of clarify that, because we are talking about the righteous. Now, this word for man is a Hebrew word that, you know, means just that. It actually has with it the implication of a strong man or a warrior. There's no problem. You notice that a lot of the versions that we read substituted a gender-neutral wording there. That's okay. It does no violence to this. This applies to anybody. Generalization in this context doesn't hurt anything. In fact, you might consider it to be inappropriate. Although, a lot of times it's the men, it's the strong warrior that has a little bit of trouble accepting the idea that he needs to be held by the hand. But the warrior must know that he cannot fight alone. It says, and he delights in his way. Now here's another word, place where you've got some difference. In the first reading, it looks as if the man delights in the Lord's way. And in fact, if you go back and read verse 4, it says in part, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's what we studied a few months ago. And how does that happen? It happens because your desires and his desires are matching up. In other words, you're delighting in his way. This describes the attitude of a righteous person. Love leads us to the desire to please him because we love him. And we take joy in walking with him just as we would take joy in physically walking with somebody that we care about. So then the second reading of this, as you look at all those translations we had there, the second reading of this, the implication is that God delights in man's way. Well, that seems kind of backwards to me, but not if you think about it, because it is his delight when we walk with him. It is his delight when we do what he tells us to do. Why? Because he's a taskmaster and he wants to see us sweat? No, because he loves us. Because he made us for relationship with him, and because he knows that when we're doing as he told us to do, it's going to work out the best for us. He knows that it's going to lead to our good. And so, if you want to delight the Lord, walk with him. Give him your hand. And then it says, when he falls. Now, when is not one of those filler words. That one's in there. When he falls. We're all going to fall. We know this. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to trip, just to use some of the words that were in the various renditions of this verse. But it will not be the end of us. I'll add one more translation here that I didn't put on the screen, something called the voice. That really, really kind of goes paraphrase, but it says, and even though you trip up, you will not fall on your face because he holds you by the hand. Whose hand is it? Now we've got another variant here. Because if you read the first thing, read it one way, the Lord is the one who holds your hand. The Lord's doing it. And that's actually why it caught my attention, because of the implied closeness that's in that. You know, the father-child connection there. But when you're holding somebody's hand, it's an act of trust, it's an act of connection, it's an act of love. And your kids don't think anything about it. I remember walking hand in hand with my friend, boy or girl, it didn't matter. Because we're not saying, you know, we'd never do that today. But when you're little, you don't think anything of it. It's just a way of being connected to somebody that you like. And so it lends to that picture of the caring father. But the other way that that's read is that the Lord is supporting you with His hand. Well, it comes to the same thing, doesn't it? The image may be less intimate, but it's equal in outcome. Jude puts it this way at the end of his letter. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. That's who's got a hold of our hand. So trust in His Word. Yeah, sometimes you run into difficulties, and it was hard for me when I first started seeing these things. Well, wait a minute. This is supposed to be God's infallible, inspired Word. How can we have any variation? But God's truth will always come out. Either other passages will clarify it, and you can cross-reference, and you can look and see, okay, oh, this seems ambiguous, but this is not. Or, as in this case, God brings out the truth any way you read. His Word is powerful. He is powerful. Almighty God is able to preserve His Word, and He is able to hold you up. In this case, walk with the Lord. Walk with Yahweh. Delight in Him, and He will delight in you. Give Him your hand, and He will not let you go. Yeah, you're going to stumble. I'm going to stumble. We're going to trip. We're going to fall down. But He will keep us from destruction. We stay connected to Him. Like that little child, stay connected to your Father. If you go off running off on your own, as we're prone to do, chances are you're going to trip over something and get hurt. And yes, because your Heavenly Father still loves you, He'll come running and pick you up if you cry out to Him. But how much better to walk together in peace with Him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful provision. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that you are always there, like the good Father, holding on to us, sometimes whether we like it or not, because you love us and you're not willing to let us go. Thank you, Lord, for your love and care for us. May we walk with you as individuals and as a church as we go forward into the mission that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.